the Hegelian dialectic is you have a thesis, an antithesis, and then you have a synthesis. And is the Green Party platform, is that what is going to be called the synthesis? Is that what they really want? Because it goes right in march with Local Agenda 21 and sustainable development. I know these people are very loving, and they love plants and they love animals like I do, but I think they're being led down the path. And as soon as the military is strong enough where they can control the people through all regulations in force, then they'll just say to the real environmentalists, well, you've done your job for us. Thank you very much. And they'll probably be the first ones that go in the camps. So it's kind of discouraging to see all these good people and really believe in this environmental movement like I did about 8 years ago, and saying there's something wrong with it. And that's where I started studying. And that's where they have to question themselves and say, well, maybe I was wrong. And, you know, nobody likes to be wrong, Tom. But I found out I was wrong. I was doing the wrong thing supporting Nature Conservancy, World Wildlife Fund, and Greenpeace. And so they move the people and they control the people now through emotion. And how do we get to these really dedicated environmentalists that don't really understand how they're being manipulated and motivated by the Rockefellers, and they're being funded by the elitists also? Not sure how we can do it, because it's hard for people to say, well, I've been on the wrong track, I was wrong, and now I have to do with what's right.
It is a tough one, because so many people look at the environmental movement or, say, socialism, and it sounds wonderful. I mean, the Agenda 21, clean air, clean water, sustainability, I mean, that's all wonderful terms, and no one's really against any of those things, but they're using that as a wedge. Their solution, when you get right down to it, is just a police state.
Yeah.
And you know, It sounds so wonderful. I mean, you look at socialism. It seems like it's share the wealth with everybody. Everyone can have health care and eat well and live in decent housing and so forth. But the way they want to bring it about is to really impose this police state. And it really isn't about creating those things. The thing that's really behind it all is just a brutal, raw grab for power.
Mm-hmm. A boot on the face forever. And 1984 is a really good video to watch to understand the psychology behind what's happening. Anyway, Tom, those are my thoughts this evening.
Thank you very much.
Okay, night.
Good night. Well, those are the words to listen, because I think I remember being in school and just kind of, I was a student of history and believing everything that they were kind of feeding me. Of course, I was pretty young at the time. I do have that excuse. And it wasn't until I got in high school that I remember the first thing, I've shared it before and I'll share it right now, the very first thing that clued me off is, huh? That, you know, you ever get that in your life where something just does not mesh in your brain? Well, the very first thing that happened was after Oswald had killed Kennedy, and the whole nation was waiting to hear what he had to say about it, and the interviewer came out something like 4 hours later and said, he didn't have anything important to say. Wasn't that, and I was like, boom, right there. I says, what? I mean, you would want to have heard anything he had to say, what he had for breakfast, what he thinks about the sky being blue. I mean, you were just like waiting with the bated breath to hear what he had to say. And when he came out and made that, and it's just like, what? And that was like the first inkling in my mind that something was wrong. And of course, I was a sophomore in high school at the time. Good evening, caller. We just have a few minutes here.
This is Mike in Santa Cruz.
Yes, hi, Mike.
Yeah. This is pretty much in keeping with what Jeannie was saying. I'd like to refer at least our local listeners to the Santa Cruz Sentinel, page A16, Sunday, September 22nd. It's an AP article, which probably appears in other papers across the nation. The title is Big River Purchase Connects Habitat for Wildlife. I'm going to jump through this pretty quick. Paragraph 4, the sale of this land completes a link of 60,000 acres of public land along the Mendocino coast, giving black bears, mountain lions, and other wildlife corridors, that's my big word, corridors to roam between existing parks and preserves. This won't make a whole lot of sense to people who are new to the topic, but for those who have been paying attention for the last 5 or 10 years, they are aware of maps that have been drawn of the country that divide up wilderness versus populated areas, and populated by human areas get more or less hemmed in or fenced around by wildlife areas, which humans are not allowed to enter. And I believe that this article is talking about exactly that.
Yeah, it's a pretty high percentage of the United States they want to be in these protected areas. And it's just amazing when you look at it. I mean, it's like three-quarters of the United States being a protected habitat where human beings will not be allowed at all in any form.
Right.
That's it really goes back to this whole thing about the takeover. Well, Mike, we're up against the end of the show here, so thank you for calling. And to you, all of you out there, listen in next week. I'll be here. This is Tom Clooney. And go listen to that talk by Michael Perini. That's going to be at the Vets Hall this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Thank you.
Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming in from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And we ask your calls, we invite your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us right now on the line John McTernan, and John's a retired police officer. He's written a couple of books which we carry, which we think are excellent. God's Final Warning, which simply points out that God does warn nations before he brings them to justice. And, of course, Israel, a blessing, or Israel, curse. And, of course, John, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me, Stan.
All right, fine. Well, let's talk about, of course, both of the books. These really are amazing, amazing times we live in. I mean, America is moving into a war. We have 15 Saudis attack the World Trade Center, a fellow from Yemen, a fellow from Egypt, and a couple of others. So we go to war with Afghanistan. Now that we've finished off Afghanistan and they can't find Osama bin Laden, why we're going to go to war with Saddam Hussein, who we kept in power in 1991, and then in 1995 there was a military coup. They were going to overthrow him, and of course our National Security Council intervened and stopped the coup to overthrow the wicked Saddam Hussein so that we could go to war with him in the year 2002. And there's something wrong with this scenario. Incidentally, for the documentation of what I just said, a fascinating book, which we will be carrying very soon, it's entitled See No Evil by the Station Chief, CIA Station Chief in the Middle East for many years, who eventually resigned in 1997 out of disgust because why Washington wouldn't let them investigate the terrorists. Why do you think that was? Or we find out now that 2 weeks before the September 11th attack, why they knew that there's certain of the terrorists were here in this country. They'd been told by the FBI, by the CIA, and the FBI wouldn't allow this FBI officer, high officials wouldn't allow this one concerned agent to try to track down two of the terrorists who were in the attack on the World Trade Center. Why do you think that was? Do you think that was they were stupid? Oh, they said no, we were sure the attack was going to come overseas. And that, of course, is a lie. They knew it was going to be here. And if you doubt that, you need to get the New World Coming report put out by the United States Commission on Security in the 21st Century. We have that September 15th, 1999. It was basically a Council on Foreign Relations report because 12 of the 14 commissioners came from the Council on Foreign Relations, including both co-chairmen, ex-Senator Gary Hart and Warren Redman, and they were talking about the violence, the terrorism, the weapons of mass destruction to be used in America. And yet the FBI thought that the attack was going to go in Europe. Come on now. They needed an attack because how else in the world were you ever going to get the American people to go along with a war against Saddam Hussein? I mean, do you think anybody in America would, in their right mind would have wanted to go to war with Saddam Hussein on the 10th of September? But right now, unfortunately, we have a lot of people who can be manipulated into anything by the media, and they're ready to go to war with Saddam Hussein. But let me just point out that in our area where I live here in the Monterey Bay area, our congressman was on the on television tonight, and I was told that he said his letters were running 500 to 1 against the war, going to war. You know, I said, all I can say is we got a lot of right-thinking people here. What do you think about the coming war, John?
Well, Stan, boy, you certainly said a lot in your monologue there, and it's so convoluted, it's so intertwined, it's hard to tell. From my perspective, it's hard to distinguish, I guess you could say, conspiracy from incompetence, and it's probably a combination of everything. But I think it's set, Stan, that we are going to war. I don't think there's any doubt about it, and it's going to be very soon. And I think it's going to be... again, this is my opinion. I think it's going to set a chain of events that are going to turn the world upside down.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think it's not only going to be in the Middle East. I think it's going to be right here in America, and I think that that's the way it was always planned to be because, you know, the legislation is already in place, the USA Patriot Act, the Office of Homeland Security, the Model State Emergency Health Power Act. They're expecting biological attack in America. They're expecting a disorder and chaos in our streets and rising up populations. They're expecting destruction of our cities. And, of course, that's why they had to get all this legislation enacted beforehand, because we have a constitution that really prevents a police state. But, of course, in the name of security, why an awful lot of people will accept more control over their lives. And I really fear the American people are going to see God's judgment. And I think that behind all the plans, somebody once said, behind all that foes have plotted, behind all that saints have planned, behind the schemes of men and demons, is a higher hidden hand. And I really believe that's what it's all about. I believe that all these things are falling into place because there is a plan. Satan has a plan, but God has a plan too. And I think he's going to judge America. What do you think, John?
Stan, I just read today about, in your state, as a matter of fact, just passed legislation for stem cell research. The homosexual legislation is still going forward throughout the country. Abortion is still going unfettered. And with all this that's going on, and I've documented all this in my book, the judgments that have come on America precisely to the day. I mean, some of the greatest disasters in our country have been on Gay Pride Day. I can't see how we cannot be judged, Stan.
Well, and if you haven't read John McTiernan's book, God's Final Warning, that's God's Final Warning, you really need to think about getting it. And if you want more information, we can tell you a suggested donation for it. We think it's a very important book, and you can always give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. God's Final Warning, and John has actually taken the events, political, and then compared them with these events, whether they be hurricanes or earthquakes or, you know, the various things that affect society. And it's almost, well, it certainly couldn't simply be by accident that every time a man defies God and flaunts God, why, there is some great natural disaster that occurs. And, of course, it's John's contention, and I tend to agree with him. God is a merciful God. God's trying to tell us what's going to happen, and nobody's listening, nobody's watching, nobody wants to hear the message.
Well, Stan, you're right. Although this may sound strange, I am more optimistic now than I was even a couple of years ago, because a couple of years ago, my message fell on deaf ears. But now, there's people like yourself and many others throughout the country. Doors are open. I couldn't get into a church for years. I mean, that was just the way it was. They didn't want to hear what I had to say. And now church doors are opening to my message. And I see more, I guess we want to use the word life now, than I did even a couple of years ago. So from my perspective, I see some stirring amongst God's people where I didn't really see much a couple of years ago.
Well, I'm more optimistic than I've ever been. We're going to have some difficult times, but that's the only way people are going to start looking for God. I mean,
well, you're right,
in affluent America with a stock market over 11,000, who needs God? But of course, the trouble is everybody needs God.
Well, Stan, you mentioned the stock market. Well, you're right. You're absolutely right. And you mentioned the stock market being over 11,000. The two major indices on the stock market is the Dow Industrial Average and the NASDAQ, which is the technical area of the stocks. Between them, at both their high water marks, between them, there was close to $20 trillion in wealth. The Dow was at it went almost to 12,000, went to 11,700, and the NASDAQ went over 5,000, so that's 17, and we'll say about $18 trillion in wealth. The market has lost about half of that in about 2.5 years. But the interesting thing, Stan, when I saw, of course, no one knew when the high water mark of the Dow and the NASDAQ is going to be, right? I mean, the news will say, "Will the stock market reach its all-time high today?" Well, you don't know that is going to be the all-time high, because you don't know if it's going to go up higher. So I waited for about 6 months, 7 months, and saw that the all-time high for the stock market was, and I don't have the records in front of me right now. It was like January 15th of 2000, and I checked on the news on that day, and sure enough, I had files. I have files and files of news records. I go to January of 2000, open my file here, headlines, the Supreme Court is going to hear the partial birth abortion case. That's front page, New York Times, January 15th, 2000, the same day the stock market reached its all-time high. We know that the Supreme Court ruled that partial birth abortion was the law of the land, and that's when our stock market peaked. I go to March 10th, 2000, and it was the first day that Israel offered the Palestinians their own state, and we know that was under the pressure from Bill Clinton, and that was the very high water mark of the NASDAQ. So the stock market, Dow peaked on a abortion-related event. The NASDAQ peaked on a Israel-related event. We were forcing Israel over the covenant land. And since those 2 days, the stock market has lost $9 trillion, about half its wealth.
And, of course, now as we move into a third world war, and, you know, a lot of people think this is going to be just a little tea time war. You know, our boys will be, home certainly before very long. We're just going to go in there and, and it's just going to be a very, very simple process. I think people have no concept of what we've happened. And, of course, not just what's going to happen in Iraq and Syria and Iran and quite possibly in Saudi Arabia. But what's going to happen on the streets of America with literally millions of people who are loyal to the Islamic faith and look upon this as an attack on Allah himself? And I think at that point, especially if some of the people who are talking about, well, maybe we ought to bomb Medina and Mecca. I mean, do they have any idea of what would happen if these people would simply go crazy? And right here in America, and we brought in a massive fifth column intentionally and purposely going back to 1965 when our attention was riveted on Vietnam, and of course at that time they moved to change America and bring us into a multicultural society, and of course the outgrowth of that is millions and millions and millions of people dedicated to Allah who can only get to heaven one way for certain, and that is to die in jihad, die killing the infidels. And who are the infidels? That's us. And they've got them in the prisons. 175,000 Muslims or blacks that convert to the Muslim religion every year in our government-supported institutions in our prisons. And they're just waiting for the time when the doors are open, they can stream out on the streets. If you don't think this sort of thing can happen in America, why, we did exactly that sort of thing in Iran back in late 1978 and 1979. We demanded the Shah of Iran loose all the prisoners, all the criminals. And, of course, chaos reigned on the streets. And then, of course, we went to the Shah in February of 1979, and we said, you know, you will leave tomorrow. And the Shah left. And, of course, that's what brought the Ayatollah Khomeini to power. We created, once again, one of the finest enemies money could buy. You would think that occasionally our leaders would make a mistake in our favor, but it always seems to be in the other direction. But be that as it may, John, as we see this whole story unfolding, you know, I think that as things get much worse, maybe more and more people are going to begin to listen to your message and ours.
Well, Stan, I don't want to, you know, make cliches and all this, but I'm listening to what you're saying is the absolute truth. And when people are in dire straits, they'll turn to the Lord. Yeah. I mean, that's just pure and simple the way it is. When the stock market is high and there's a lot of wealth, and I'm talking about even a lot of Christian people. I'm not talking about the people that don't know the Lord. I'm talking about people that know the Lord. God is, it's not the same for a lot of people. And I know I've had people, when I've spoken at prophecy conferences, for example, and I've made these correlations between every major stock market downturn had to do with abortion, homosexuality, or Israel, people get real concerned about the stocks more than really a lot of people, more than really concerned for what God's heart is in this. And I just shake my head and say, this system is totally corrupt, and one day God is going to judge it for what it is, and you're more worried about that than you are what your Father in Heaven is concerned about.
It's
strange.
Is that old cliche, you know, that you never saw a hearse on the way to the graveyard with a U-Haul trailer going behind. And, of course, somebody once said, you know, if I die, how much, what am I going to lose? And somebody said everything, because we are going to lose everything. Naked we came into the world, and naked we will leave it. We will leave it without anything. The important thing is where we're going to spend eternity.
Well, that's absolutely right. And that's one of the reasons I wrote these books, Stan, was to bring the reality of God's word to people. Like, God is not some little, I don't know, cloud in the sky floating around. I mean, God rules in the affairs of men and nations. He does. He is actively evolved in the affairs of men if you know where to look. If you know where to look, and if you have, just you believe in the scriptures, you can clearly see the hand of God.
And I think that's the important part of your message in God's final warning, is that the hand of God is in behind everything that's going on, whether we recognize it or not.
Exactly. See, that's exactly what the case is. Now, Stan, a lot of the objection that I get to my book is God doesn't judge, that God is love. And that's probably the biggest obstacle that I have for people to accept my two books.
Well, maybe they've never read the Old Testament. They want to divorce the Old Testament from the New Testament. Oh, well, in the Old Testament, God judged nations and people, and of course, there was a heaven and a hell. But in the New Testament, it's all love. And I don't think they've read the New Testament very much, because Jesus talked far more about hell. And he talked about heaven. And of course, if there is no hell, why did he bother to come to earth to die for our sins, to rescue us from eternal damnation? If there is no hell, then he wasted his time coming.
Well, you see, you're right. I mean, God is love. There's no doubt about it. I mean, John 3:16 is just alone is enough to say God is love. And that's why he sent the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But then you say, well, why did God have to send the Lord? And the reason for that, and this is what's lost today, Stan, is God is holy. And you see, along with God being holy is the fear of him. And once you lose the awe of God being holy, then you lose the fear of him, and sin can abound in nations and in people's lives and that, and there's no concern because God's love and everything's fine. When the bottom line is, God is holy and that he judges sin. Now, in his mercy, he will send warning upon warning upon warning. And, you know, take the case of Noah. When you look in the scriptures, Noah, it says, was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years before the judgment. In the nation of Israel, God, for at least, I guess, 200 years, sent prophet after prophet after prophet to warn before the nation was taken away into Babylon for captivity. And that's the way God is. He warns and warns and warns, and that's what he's in the process doing to America right now.
No, I agree with you. In fact, a merciful God has given us the option. If we obey him, why, of course, he'll bless us. And, of course, times may be very bad, but he will be with us no matter what happens. But if you reject God,
you're right.
God is going to judge you. And, of course, there is nothing more frightening, in my thought, than, of course, the judgment of a righteous God against my sin as a sinner. And certainly I think we're all sinners, saved only by grace. But the people who don't know they're sinners saved by grace are going, of course, to see the judgment. God doesn't want anybody to perish. He didn't want anybody to perish. So he gave us an option. But we have to accept that. It's sort of like, you know, if your ship goes down and somebody throws you, a life jacket. Well, you can either put it on and survive, or you can simply drown. An awful lot of people are drowning today because they're rejecting God's gift.
Yes.
God's life jacket. And I think that people have to understand that these things, there's nothing new about what's going on today. Nations have been destroyed again and again and again when they've turned against God. And is there anybody in their audience listening today who doesn't believe America's turned against God when they see what goes on? And here they have the Burning Man ceremony up there in Nevada. Though the things that go on up there, would make a prostitute blush. I mean, they're really the horrible depravity. And yet, of course, it's completely accepted, and everybody thinks it's wonderful. We even have a local Burning Man chapter right here in Santa Cruz.
Stan, I'm not familiar with what you're talking about.
Oh, this is it's up in the desert in Nevada, and there are probably 35 to 50,000 people, and they go up, and they have just a week of total depravity, naked, let's say, people running around without any clothes on and participating in all sorts of acts with strangers, of all various sorts of perversion. And then, of course, it culminates after drugs and alcohol and sexual excess.
And what is it referred to as, Stan?
The Burning Man. They have this 50-foot or 75-foot man, and they burn him. And this goes back to some of the ancient Celtic
ceremonies
that they have.
That's what the pagans used to do.
Right, well, but this
and
is
Stan,
what...
excuse me for a second. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
When you were saying that, now I understand that when you used to determine the terminology Burning Man, I'm sure that you are well aware of this, that in the full Celtic pagans, they had human sacrifice along with it.
Right. Well, I don't think
and
they stuff anybody in the Burning Man now, but
well, that's where we're heading.
Carry over to that. I mean, it's exactly the same concept, only right now they're not putting any human beings in it, but of course, as this thing goes on, I mean, this is a takeoff on the human sacrifice of bygone days. And this takes place every...
Right, the sexual immorality, the drugs, the big fire that you were talking about, in the big mass of people, that's all what the pagans did, and they celebrated it with human sacrifice. So as we turn more and more pagan, I guess the next step, Stan, will be sacrifices.
I have no question at all. If God doesn't intervene... and I just hope and pray that he isn't intervening at this time, because, of course, if he doesn't, of course, there's no hope for anyone for salvation. In other words, all those who have turned against him will certainly doom. But if he does intervene and things get worse, hopefully many of the people who listen to this program who are not now Christians will at least give serious consideration to trying to find out what Christianity is about and how to give their life to our Lord.
Well, Stan... what I tell people today when I have the opportunity is the authority and the literalness of God's Word. You literally can open up the Bible to especially the Hebrew prophets and turn to prophet after prophet after prophet and see what they have to say about the Middle East, about especially the nation of Israel. That's sort of one of the major themes of prophetic themes of the Bible. Of course, some other themes are the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, the day of the Lord, and there are other themes, but one of the most blatant and obvious that you can't deny is Israel was out of existence for virtually 2,000 years. It's a nation again. They have the Jews have Jerusalem again as their capital. There's the huge wars that will dwarf anything that we've seen before are on the horizon, and this is directly out of the Bible. I mean, prophets that wrote 2,500 years ago are literally, you turn to them and you can get the newspapers, the modern newspapers, and look, and they're saying the same thing. I believe that the future, we know generally what's going to happen. I can't give you specific details, but we know generally what's going to happen, because it's all laid out in the Bible.
Well, you know, there's a very interesting thing. Some people want to say that we're coming up on Ezekiel 38 and 39. I had a gentleman recently as a guest, and he said, no, he said, we're going coming up on the war that precedes Ezekiel 38 and 39, laid out in Isaiah 4 from verse 3 to the end of the chapter. And so I had to get it out. It talks about the area around Iraq, basically.
Right.
And that after this war, of course, there would be nothing there. In other words, no human being would live there. Absolutely.
Yes.
No human being would live there. Now, that's never occurred throughout all history.
That's correct.
Was that your prophecy?
Yes, yes. Oh,
okay.
Was
well, I was going to say this was a really brilliant guy. But I was so intrigued by that. Why don't you explain why that is so significant to our listeners? Because this has never occurred before that nobody lived in that area.
Yes. God views prophecy different than we think of, Stan, or time. Let's put it that way. And I'm turning to the Bible right now. Just give me a second. I'm in Isaiah. All right, I'm in Isaiah 13. God talks about judging Babylon, which of course is modern-day Iraq. Now, I spoke at a Bible prophecy conference. Last month in Texas. And there were some Jews from Israel there. And after I spoke, one of the Jews made an interesting comment. He verified everything I said as far as geography. I was very pleased with that, the way he backed up what I said. And then he told me something interesting, which I didn't know. In Hebrew, there is no word for the nation of Iraq. In Hebrew, it's referred to as Babylon.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Right. Of course, I was.
I didn't know that.
Right.
And so when the Jews would read, for example, Isaiah chapter 13, which I shared with you, and it says the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amoz, did see, immediately they would think of Iraq.
Okay, so it's Isaiah 13 then.
Right.
All right. What was it? Is it verse?
It's the whole chapter, but the meat of it is verses 4, 5, and 6, and then a couple other verses. But it says, a noise of the multitude in the mountains, like as a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of the nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. So the prophet says that there's coming a time when all the nations of the world are going to be in a tumult. They're going to be upset. And then verse 5, they come from a far country. One country in particular is involved. Now listen to this. Even from the end of heaven. Now, when the geographical reference in the Bible is always Israel and Jerusalem, always. So when it says when they come from the end of heaven, it means as far away as from Israel as possible. With even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. And then it says, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. And if you read on, it says that Babylon, it shall be overthrown as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt from generation to generation. So God has a prophecy in Scripture to judge Babylon. And he said he was going to judge Babylon for what Nebuchadnezzar did, 2,600 years ago when he destroyed Judah, destroyed Jerusalem, and took the Jews captive.
Now let me just point out here. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch the tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But the wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. And of course, what could possibly happen where nobody would live there? You'd almost have to have either a nuclear or a biological attack that would contaminate the ground.
Exactly,
would that be a fair statement?
Exactly, Stan.
And that's just what you're thinking of, and
exactly.
That's exactly what George Bush is talking about. We may use nuclear weapons.
Yes, Stan, and that was said yesterday. I'm confused on days now. Just yesterday, the Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, and some others mentioned nuclear weapons will be used against Iraq if Saddam Hussein uses weapons of mass destruction.
Well, we're going to have to take a five-minute break. We've got Neil calling in from Kennewick, and I'm going to ask Neil to hang on here until we get back. And, of course, when we get back, we'll invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And give us a call if you agree or disagree. But I hope everybody out there is pretty as concerned as I am that we are in the lull before the storm. And, of course, that storm is about to break loose at any moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and, of course, we have an opportunity, a unique opportunity, to reach people all across America, and we have almost 50 outlets every week where at least some of our programming is heard, and whether it be shortwave or satellite or Internet or radio stations, and why people can hear the truth. And how exciting it is to know that we are reaching people across America. But quite frankly, we need your help to do what we're doing. And so we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to partnering with us, becoming members of the Radio Liberty family, or certainly whatever you can do to help us so we can continue doing what we're doing. And if there was ever a time when we need to expand our ministry, believe me, it's right now. Because if we don't expand it now, we may not have an opportunity to do that later. If the chaos breaks out that I anticipate, you can be sure we will be living under martial law. And, of course, when that happens, all freedom fails, and good men will rot in filthy jails. But don't worry, those who've cried appease, appease, may well be hanged by those they hope to please. And so we ask you to give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family, or certainly to telling others about our programs, Tell them about our website at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs either directly or by links. 5 hours every day as we reach out across America, bringing the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Fascinating guests like John McTernan we're going to have this hour, and of course so many others. It'll give you the information you'll never get from the controlled media, because ladies and gentlemen, the media is controlled. There is a hidden hand there, and when people try to bring the truth out, why, it can't, programs get canceled routinely. Recently, Connie Chung on CNN was going to do a program on Skull and Bones. She had going to interview Alexandra Robbins, who's written a book on Skull and Bones, after interviewing a number of people from Skull and Bones who gave her the whole history. At the last minute, the program was canceled. And that's what happened, of course, when the program was going to be put on Downing of TW 800 to show that the Islamists had brought it down. But that wasn't, of course, the time when the American people should be allowed to realize the truth of what really happened to TW 800, and so they simply canceled those programs. Or we can give you example after example after example. Certainly any effort to bring out the CIA's involvement, the American Central Intelligence Agency's involvement in drug smuggling, the biggest drug smuggler in the world, you know, of course, any effort to bring that out on radio or television is always suppressed. Why? Well, they can't have the American people understanding that the wicked people have taken control of the reins of government and the leadership of both political parties, and the only way it's going to change is if the American people understand, if the American people turn back to God, if the American people care about freedom. Remember our number, it's 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and we'd love to welcome you into the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this evening is John McTernan. He's written two books. One is God's Final Warning, and the other is Israel, a Blessing or Curse. And right now, though, we've got Neil calling from Kennewick, Oregon. Hi, Neil. How are you doing?
How are you doing, Dr. Stan?
I'm doing just fine.
I enjoy your program. I'd like to get your opinion and your guest's opinion on these dual citizenship Americans. How can you be 50% American?
Well, of course, this is something that our government is encouraging. But, John, do you have any thought on that? Certainly many people can be, you can be a citizen of Mexico, a citizen of the United States. You can be a citizen of Israel. You can be a citizen of the United States. A large number of nations would allow you to be dual citizens. How do you feel about that?
Well, that's all just a watering down of American nationalism. And when you was mentioning that, I was thinking in Deuteronomy 28, I can't give you the exact verse right now, but in Deuteronomy 28 it says, when God's judging a nation, he'll raise foreigners up amongst you to rule over you.
And I think, Neil, the thing is that there has been a long-range plan funded by the Ford Foundation and the other people of great wealth, specifically to change us from being a Christian nation into a multicultural society, and ultimately then to destroy us. And that's what happens when a nation turns its back on God. Anything else, Neil?
Yes, Dr. Stan. Now, I understand Paul Wolfowitz, Deputy Secretary of Defense, is also an Israeli citizen.
He may very well be. I don't know.
Richard Perle and Henry Kissinger. Now, how can you represent America?
I really don't believe that Henry Kissinger is an Israeli citizen. I really don't. I wish you could document that on me. I do not know about Wolfowitz and the others, but I would be very, very concerned having people who have another loyalty at the highest lines of our government.
Right. If I'm part Irish and part German, I don't think I could be 100% American if I held a citizenship in Germany or Ireland.
Well, I think if you could find any documentation that Henry Kissinger is an Israeli citizen, would you get that to me?
I would. If you, I understand you take American Free Press.
Yes.
And the Synagogue of Satan by Father O'Connor, that's where he states.
Well, I know, but I want to see something. I don't want what somebody said. I'd like some documentation.
Right.
If you could get that for me, I'd sure appreciate it. Okay?
Okay, one more thing.
Yeah.
I think it's important that we understand a difference between an Ashkenazi Jew and a Sephardic Jew.
Well, of course, the thing is that the people who want to bring that up, of course, will say, well, of course, all Jews are are certainly Ashkenazi, and of course the seed of Abraham are Sephardic Jews, and they totally ignore that, and they want to make us the Jews. But I don't want to get off onto this subject, because
okay.
It leads into anti-Semitism. There are evil people in every race. There are evil people in the Jewish race. There are evil people in the Anglo-Saxon race. There are evil people in the black race. But of course, these people who are pushing this are much more concerned about the Jews than they are about the Luciferian movement, which dominates the world and is in every major religion in the world today. Thanks so much for calling, Neil. Okay, and of course, there's some people I just want to get us off on another subject and make the Jews the subject of all of our problems. Have you noticed that?
Oh, absolutely, Stan. Yeah, and every which way you could think of, they try and put all the blame on the Jews.
I had a fellow do this a few nights ago. In fact, I had Chuck Missler on, and finally, and I just sort of let him talk, and he finally said, you know, those mongrels over there in Israel, mongrels over in Israel, and I said, is that a nice way to talk to about people, referring to them as mongrels? And of course, that was what the message he was trying to get out, and of course, his intense hatred for the Jews.
Who is this man?
Jews are God's chosen people. Oh, this was a caller we had
that
night.
Oh, yeah.
But of course, he made the mistake of letting what he really felt, and that was that Jews are mongrels. And of course, you know, there are good Jews, there are bad Jews, but I believe that God has a plan for the Jewish people and the Jewish nation. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, let's talk a little bit about your book then, it has Israel Blessing or Israel Curse. What's the exact title?
Israel, the Blessing or the Curse.
Oh, the Blessing or the Curse. Okay, that's another excellent book which you have. What's the basic theme of that?
Well, Stan, the book is really a general, overall, comprehensive view of the of Israel and the Middle East situation. We put scriptures in it with the covenant that God lays out regarding the land of Israel. Why there's a covenant? Then we go into the history. I go into the history of it. We go into the dispersion of Israel. What happened between the dispersion of Israel and the restoration? The prophets, I show conclusively what the prophets say about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. And then my co-author, he's a White House correspondent, he handles the political angle of it, currently politically what's going on. And then I have a little bit prophetic in it at the end to show what the Bible says. But the actual, I guess you would say the heart of the book, the centerpiece of it, is I've documented, I have about 35 occurrences where on the very day when our foreign policy is pushing Israel over the covenant land, for example, when Arafat steps foot on our soil or the Madrid peace process was begun, things like that, the greatest disasters ever hit America occur. A huge, just cataclysmic things like Hurricane Andrew, the Northridge earthquake, there's tremendous stock market downturns, hurricanes slamming in. I'm not talking about weekend thunderstorms. We're talking about the three greatest disasters that have hit America on these very days. So that's all documented in the book. And the conclusion that I want people to draw from the book is the authority of the Bible and the literalness of it.
Amen to that. Well, there's no question at all. In fact, the older I am, the more convinced I become of the validity of the scriptures and the fulfillment of the prophecies. And the only explanation for what's going on today is, of course, we're seeing God's judgment beginning to fall on America. We've got Nathan calling from Contra Costa. Hi, Nathan. How are you doing?
Okay. Hi. Good evening, gentlemen. Basically, I'm going to keep this very, very simple. There's one reason, it's the summation of all the reasons why Israel and the United States are both under attack. Israel, the Jewish people are supposed to uphold the law of Moses, and the rest of the world is supposed to uphold the seven basic laws of Noah, which are basically the Ten Commandments, minus a few particulars like the Sabbath, okay? We're not doing it, and because focusing on this nation right now, because this nation, which once was closer to a nation that upheld those laws, much closer than it is today, well, at one time it was blessed, it was had prosperity, it had in the 50s, you had the wife didn't need to work, But as soon as we turn away from the basics of family, of God, of higher civilization, suddenly we have crime, and we have all these problems, and we have new diseases. It's not hard to figure out. And I think it's so simple that if you break the laws of God, they will break you. It's that simple. And I wish that people could wake up and see it, but, you know, we prefer our daydreams. And I hope that the last caller was listening. He needs to understand that if you try to add to the laws of God or try to subtract from them, they will break you. They'll break us all. Thank you very much, gentlemen. It's a good show.
God bless you. Bye-bye, Nathan. Okay, and I know Nathan, and Nathan loves America. And Nathan just happens to be Jewish. So then what do you do with that? Well, of course, you ignore that, and you focus on Henry Kissinger being having Israeli citizenship. I don't think the Israelis would give him a citizenship after he kissed Anwar Sadat on the cheek and negotiated the sellout of Israel to the American government. So, and the other thing about the American Free Press, I read it, but I want you to know I never quote from it. And the reason I don't is because they want to make the Jews responsible for the assassination of President Kennedy. The Jews are responsible for the attack on the World Trade Center. You have no idea, you know, how this thought process works. And, of course, although they mix truth with falsehood, they have so much falsehood there that it's hard to determine what indeed is true. So the people who read that publication without understanding that it is published for a specific purpose, and that is to take away our focus on the Luciferian and focus it on the Jews. And, of course, I believe God has a very, very definite purpose and plan for the Jews in the times that lie ahead. And I think that we're going to have it difficult. I think they're going to have it a lot harder over there, don't you?
Well, Stan, I think it's going to be extremely hard in both places, but Israel has a everlasting covenant with God over the land with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we don't, Stan. And Israel, although things can get real hard and tough, no matter what happens, I believe based on that covenant, they're going to survive.
Well, some of them will survive. I think they're going to lose a lot
of time. With us, you know, God has wiped nations like ours right off the face of the earth. The past.
Well, of course, those of us who are true to him, of course we may end up losing our lives, but I think he will be with us, and those he feels are worthy to be used, he will use in the years and the months and years that lie ahead. But I believe this whole thing is coming down with such rapidity, and the average American has no grasp at all of what's going on. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest is John McTernan, and his two books, God's Final Warning and Israel Blessing, Israel Curse, excellent books. And if you would like to know anything more about them, I suggested a donation to get them. Again, our number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, John, you know, you mentioned that you're getting much more of a response from the churches today. What about the media?
Now, when you say the media...
I'm talking about, you know, radio programs, television programs, things of that sort. Well, the way to reach large numbers of people, you know, you can only reach so many people in a church or so many people at a conference. I love to go, but you're usually talking to the choir. At least on radio, we have an opportunity of reaching a lot of people who would not ordinarily be going maybe to the church or to the conference you're speaking at. Are you getting, what sort of reception are you getting on the mass media?
Now, in the last year, I've been on a number of radio shows. They've opened up. So I've been, I trying to think as I talk to you, I'm going to say maybe 50
that's great.
Radio shows. And a couple TV shows. Now, most of them are within Christian circles. Some of them have been secular, but most of them are within Christian circles.
Okay, and of course, I really believe that we have to use the electronic media as much as we can. Of course, the medical...
Sure, because you take like the printing press, that was used to get the Bible out, and radio has been used to get the scriptures and the Bible out. So, yeah, let's use every available resource to get the word of God out.
Do you have a website people can go to?
Yes, I do, Stan.
Let's get it out.
It's www.branchofdavid.org. It's branchofdavid.org.
Okay, that's branchofdavid.org, and we've got Mike calling from Santa Cruz, and if they'll just screen him over here, why, we'll have him right on the line. And hopefully they will screen Mike over here so we can talk to him. Well, I guess we're not going to get Mike, so we'll have to wait until he gets screened over. But right now, of course, as we look and we see the president asking for, you know, an opening, ability, consent of Congress to go to war. And, of course, we're not going to get consent of the United Nations. At least we're not going to get the General Assembly behind us. In fact, almost everybody in the world is opposing what we're doing. The only people who are really going to support us will be Great Britain. And even Germany is reluctant to let us use their bases without the backing of the United Nations. So it appears that we're not going to have a coalition. We're going to go into this thing all by ourselves.
And Stan, isn't that what Isaiah 13 says?
From a distant land. From a distant land. Isn't that, it almost makes chills go up and down your spine, doesn't it?
When I read the Isaiah 13, it says that the nation is coming with fierce weapons of indignation to destroy the whole land. And if this fits, because there's many other scenarios going on with the Day of the Lord. For example, it talks about the intense fighting between the house of Jacob and the house of Esau. The prophet Obadiah talks about this and the Day of the Lord. And that's the same time frame that Isaiah 13 is. And it said the fighting is going to result in all of the house of Esau being driven from the land.
Okay, let's go to Mike, who's finally finished. He's right here with us. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hi, Stan. There's an article in the Financial Times, September 22nd, I guess that's yesterday. Our wonderful Condoleezza Rice, United States National Security Advisor, who on TV really does not look like a National Security Advisor, but anyhow, she says the U.S. will be completely devoted to the reconstruction of Iraq as a unified democratic state in the event of a military strike that topples Saddam Hussein.
Like we did with Kuwait.
Kuwait, yeah. Well, also, the day the bombing started in Bosnia and also Afghanistan, we heard our great leaders talking about how they're going to rebuild all that once they're done. At whose expense, of course, that goes without saying. And according to whose design is my real question. I believe in the case of Bosnia, et cetera, the rebuilding ended up facilitating the extraction of mineral resources to European interests. And obviously, in the case of Afghanistan, the rebuilding will include a wonderful pipeline for UNICAL by way of their great negotiator, Hamid Karzai.
Now, for our listeners, Karzai is the president over there that we installed, who just happened to be a former consultant for UNICAL. Isn't that interesting?
He was the negotiator between UNICAL and the Taliban.
Right.
And since the Taliban never would go along with it, they just decided, somehow I just get the idea UNICAL had something to do with the United States government's decisions to bomb Afghanistan to smithereens. So, beat them into submission, in other words, as the final effort in their negotiations to get things their way.
Mike,
so they're going to have their pipeline.
Mike, you were just so suspicious.
I am such a cynic.
Okay. Do you have anything? Let's
see.
Such
a suspicious person.
Let's see if John McTernan has any comments on what you've been saying. John,
what
do you think about what Mike is saying?
I do. I happened to read what your caller was talking about, and to me, what she said just was so stereotypical of the Western, and I'm going to use the word liberal intellect, where first of all, we can go in and get a society the way that we want it. And second of all, dealing with Islam. I mean, you are not going to make a, quote, democratic country from Islam. The democracy has to come really from the ground roots, ground up, with people under the control of God. And if you have elections in Iraq, you're going to have probably 20,000 killed. There'll be all these factions will come against each other. You'll have them, fighting for Allah amongst themselves. You have the Shiites fighting the Sunnis and the Kurds fighting whoever else. I mean, it's Iraq breeds a strong man to control that situation there. She's not dealing in reality. If you think that we're going to go in and somehow magically produce democracy in Iraq.
But don't you remember when we went to war over the invasion of Kuwait, and we were told, we want to bring democracy and freedom to Kuwait, and what do? We reinstalled the feudal monarchy there. And it's sort of like we want to have a democracy in Saudi Arabia, and so that's why we support the feudal kingdom there. Why don't we try to establish a republican form of limited government, and of course let each group, the Kurds and the Sunnis and the Shiite Muslim, have their own individual states, rather than try to combine them and just create this chaos. But it's really all about power, it's really all about oil, and it's really about the total chaos that's going to come to the world, that's going to bring about the one world government. In my estimation, I believe that this war is being fought to create a great upheaval that will result in the coming of the new world order. What are your thoughts on that, John?
Well, Stan, I do believe that this world, now this is based on the scriptures, that this war is going to turn the world upside down, just because it says there in scriptures, the day the Lord's at hand, howl ye, the day the Lord's at hand. I think, Stan, that things will get out of control, that what they're planning is not going to happen, and it's going to come God's way and not their way. And there will be what you're saying, a new world order, but it's not going to be what they think it's going to be.
Oh, of course. And in the final analysis, God's plan will triumph. Mike, what else did you want
to say? Well, I just want to thank you for your words about Kuwait, what you just said, what happened there. I'd like to just press this a little further, and then I'll be off. Ms. Rice's words, the U.S. will be completely devoted to the reconstruction of Iraq as a unified democratic state. So, a democratic state, what's that? I believe that's another word for a place where they use the consensus process, which happens to be another word for, or a term, for how to get the people to go along with feudalism slash fascism. Well, whether they like it or not, whether they know it or not, that's what they're going to end up with.
Well, just to add a little to what you're saying, democracy means nothing unless you have a foundation. Democracy means 51% of the people rule. So 51% of the people say, we want slavery, and we're going to make 49% of the people slaves. That's democracy. So democracy is a useless word unless you have some foundation for it.
Well, it's the old idea of two wolves negotiating with a lamb of what we're going to have for dinner.
Yeah. Well, this statement here is obviously designed using the words unified, which sounds nice, democratic state sounds nice. So the whole American
like the
populace is
Union.
Supposed to feel much better about the bombing that we're about to perpetrate on innocent people in Iraq.
In other words, as long as they're democratic bombs, as long as we're going to restore peace and freedom, doesn't matter how many people we kill.
Yeah, but we'll feel good about it.
Okay, look, thanks very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. We've got one last call. I bet that's Nathan back from Contra Costa. Any parting thoughts, Nathan?
Oh, it's a great program. I just wanted to make one quick comment. You folks were mentioning democracy earlier, but as I understand the laws of God, they call for a judicial or a court system, and that would seem to suggest a republic. It's a technicality, but, you know, the Founding Fathers did use that term, and I figured I'd just be a pain and call in and say it.
No, absolutely.
Well, that's why I said you.
I would feel far better off if they wanted to institute a republican form of government, because as Alexander Tyler said, even before our constitutional republic was created, democracies are temporary forms of government. They vote last only until people find they can vote themselves into the public treasury. They do that, the country goes bankrupt, and then eventually it's replaced by a dictatorship. And that's why our leaders want democracy, because what they really want is rule by a ruling elite. Thanks so much, Nathan.
Thank you.
You're right on. John, we're just about out of time here. What are your thoughts for our listeners here for this evening?
Well, my thoughts, Stan, is right or wrong, this war is coming. It can't be stopped. The statements the president made to me are in stone. He can't retract them. Saddam Hussein, as I see it, is not flinching. We must be ready, above all in this spiritually, because I believe the world is going to be turned upside down, Stan, very shortly, and it's going to be a completely different world. Any disruption of oil there at all will send the stock markets and the world economy reeling, just reeling, out of control, which can bring chaos.
And, of course, not only chaos to our, the world, but, of course, it can disrupt the financial markets of the world, can collapse the dollar, and can bring a dictatorship here in America.
Yes, absolutely. That, but most of all, we must be anchored in the Lord, strong in our faith in the Lord and in the Scriptures, because that's the only thing, no matter what happens, that's the only thing that's going to get us through.
It sure is. Well, our guest has been John McTernan, his books, God's Final Warning and Israel Blessing, Israel Curse. If you'd like to know more about that, our number 1-800-544-8927 for a suggested donation. God bless you, John. Always a pleasure having
okay,
you on.
Okay, Stan. Lord
Thank
bless
you so
you,
much. Bye-bye. All right, fine. And so this is the time when we have to say goodnight to our listeners up there in the great state of Washington and northern Oregon and western Idaho. Remember our Saturday morning program at 10 o'clock every morning there on the American Christian Network. And please tell your friends, we want to build that listening audience up. We want to reach as many people as we can in the time that God has given us. And so until tomorrow at the same time, when I'll be back with you with another exciting program. Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California. It's 464-8295, but we ask you to hold your calls. We have with us a gentleman this evening who calls himself Desert Owl. And a good friend, Jerry McLaughlin, asked me to put him on this evening because he said that this gentleman has a great deal of wisdom as far as the cause of words, and certainly is well acquainted with this move towards a global government, because this is really what it's all about. It's all about a one-world government. It's all about a new world religion. All of these things were prophesied so many years ago. And, of course, as Colonel House said so well of writing in Foreign Affairs magazine back in June of 1923. And he said, you know, if war had not come in 1914 with a fierce and exaggerated force, why the idea of an association of nations would probably remain dormant, for great changes seldom materialize without great upheavals. Great changes seldom materialize without great upheavals. Well, we are about to see a great upheaval. And if you think that what is coming down in the Middle East is just going to be a little war, you don't understand. We are going to trigger a world war. I was just reading something that was put out by a man named Richard Mayberry, who is a financial consultant. He was talking about the Second World War, and he said, you know, 1 million people were being killed every month. And time and again, the Allies had a chance to stop the carnage, 1 million people dying every month, and they refused to do it. And he said, I hate to appear to be metaphysical, but obviously this whole thing was controlled by a thing, and he had T, the thing was capitalized. This evil entity, he didn't understand it. Of course, he didn't understand the satanic force behind all of this. But he pointed out that there was a thing that creates wars. And I think there is a thing that creates wars. And, of course, its agents are working at the highest echelons of both our government and the Iraqi government today. Well, this is Desert Owl. How are you tonight?
Doing real good, Dr. Stan. Thank you for having me on. It's a real honor. I listen to you on shortwave almost every night. And
you
can call me Desert.
Why don't you just go ahead and tell us what your take is on what's going on, and of course, this move towards the one world government. And do you see this as part of what's happening today?
Well, Dr. Stan, I'm under more threat and duress and coercion than the average guy out there. I've been through 10 years of being an activist and know what the score is, and it's... we're losing for all practical purposes. Of course, if you have deep spiritual convictions, you know that there's another side to all of it, that no matter what road the world goes down, that if we have our spiritual center and find ourselves in the body of Christ, then we have eternity with us. So it's a matter of knowing what the score is and what the price is to pay in each episode of life.
All right, fine. Well, of course, now, of course, you've been an activist for 10 years, and you've been trying to expose what's going on?
Yes, sir. In the latter part of my 10 years of activism, the past five, I've been under an extreme ordeal of various sorts of persecution, Masonic Order, ADL, the whole KKK, you know, the whole mixed group that worked together to... destroy our society as it is. So, and it's because I have been a deep student of philosophy as well as spirituality, mythology, religion, and of course being a follower of Christ in particular, collect the ancient writings of the Hebrew and Christian tradition. I've been a very astute student, therefore, with books, and when I got into activism, I was able to pull together real quick the things that were going on. And when I did radio for about 13 months, it was called America's Driving Force, when I had the organization called United Truckers Defending the Constitution. And so I always was able to really draw out the nature of what was really going on and tell it like it is. And so United Truckers was too potentially powerful for their likings, and so they destroyed that and then ultimately did a good number on me, and I'm still in the process of recovering.
Now, what you were doing, a shortwave or regular?
I was on Jeff Baker's Marinette Broadcasting, did shortwave and satellite combined, and it was syndicated on a few AM and FM stations. But my expertise of late, and for the better part of my life, but it's really coming to a head now, with all that I've learned, is with the nature of words, because now being a student of law in particular for these past 10 years as well, I know that the words that we use today either can trap us, enslave us, or they can set us free. And the average people out there don't understand the real import of words and how they elude us and how they trap us. I'll give you an example. I just finished reading the first Middle English dictionary that was ever published by Oxford from circa 1850, And in there are some very interesting words, and I'll give you an example of one of them. I'm going to ask you the definition in the form of a question. What did they call someone who did not work for the government back around 1300?
A taxpayer.
That could have been true. But the definition is idiot. An idiot is someone who does not work for the government. How do you like that? Then we go into, I'm giving you a couple quick examples here to show people and yourself. Of course, you're up on it probably a little more than the average bear, but for the listeners out there, real quick on sports, means diversion. And you can even go into Webster's 1828 dictionary and find that definition as well. Security. If you look in the Handbook for Roman Law from the 1930s, it says, regarding security, the first thing you need is a hostage. So I say, can you say birth certificate? The nature of things is just profound when you start studying and pulling away the veil of all of this. Another common coin misstatement that we have today, and we all fall into it, even though I recognize the true nature of a lot of words, I still have trouble moving away from them or finding alternative words. So I fall back sometimes into the same traps. But today, a lot of people, Dr. Stan, are using a phraseology that is not true to form, and it comes out of the words of George Bush back around the Gulf War around 92, when he started coining the phrase, the rule of law. And a lot of us today are falling into using that term, the rule of law, as if it is a proper definition of something to do with law. But really, all it is a metaphor for the law of rules. Because what we are supposed to embrace as a people, as free people, is the common law, which is the common air that we breathe. It is not statutory. It is not written other than on our hearts. We understand we are not to hurt one another, and that is common between all of us. So that's a couple of examples. The book that I am producing right now with another gentleman, Tom Teer, is called The Cyber Code. And it's a dictionary of mystery, so to speak, and it reveals the Quiet War, which is a secret war using very ancient principles of language. And so the reason that we can't, it's as if we cannot read, Dr. Stan, and it's because even though they taught us how to say a certain word in the English language in school, they never taught us the root elements of words, because it's the root elements that control all of the diction in a word. And so if we do not understand the root elements, then we do not understand the real import of the word. I'll go into a brief summary here on the essence of the language, and this will help when I go further into other words. The purpose of this presentation is to prove the true occult nature of what is going on today in our world, from abortion to legal slavery, to wars, to mass genocide. Darkness rules, and all at the hand of man. They are speaking to us in our face, loud and clear, but can we hear what they are really saying, and can we not see who and what they really are? All language is a science, but if the science of all language has been destroyed, then it would be strictly impossible to correctly understand the true import and full meaning of any language. If the language is not correct, then what is being said is not what is meant. And if what is being said is not what is meant, then what needs to be done or said will remain left undone or unsaid, insecure or unseen. Then all morals, the lessons of history, the arts, science, customs, spirituality, and all of the original intent and thought will ultimately deteriorate.
Well, I think that one of the things today is they just keep coming up with new terms and changing the meaning of terms. And,
yes.
And what, of course, they come up with the term an enemy combatant. But anybody who, of course, is today an enemy combatant is immediately, of course, subject to a prolonged incarceration with no opportunity for trial. Or if he is to be tried, he will have a military tribunal.
Sure.
And, of course, the reason that they don't want these people to be tried is that, of course, if the information was to come out, let's say they're part of Al-Qaeda, why information would come out that the CIA had financed the Al-Qaeda. If they were members of the Taliban, the information would come out. And you can go back to books written in 1999 by John Cooley on Holy Wars. The United States hatched this monster. monster, along with Saudi Arabia and Pakistan. So you can't have free and open trials with the press there, because, of course, people would find out we created this whole Islamic terrorist movement. So they create these new terms and then new phrases and new laws, of course, really not to obtain justice, but to conceal the truth from the American people. Nobody from the press is allowed to attend these. And if they did and they wanted to point out that we funded Al-Qaeda, that we funded the Taliban, then, of course, that would just actually the American people would understand that this whole thing is a scam to create a new enemy, to replace the enemy of communism, and to draw us into this terrible, terrible war that lies ahead.
Sure. Well, there's I was just spending about 3 weeks up in the Cleveland area, and there's a new definition that's being bandied about by the courts today, and it's called paper terrorism, if you will. And I understand that they've arrested a number of people with the Right Way Law organization, not necessarily those working in the office, but those that are associated with Right Way Law, because they're doing paperwork trying to, of course, protect people's lives and law. And so they're now, if you want to form an affidavit, I've actually heard, and I'm not sure if this is true or not, that an affidavit now has been outlawed in several states, and I can't imagine that can be even possible under any system, you know.
Well, let me tell you something. I got a call from Atlanta, Georgia today about a minister there. And, of course, in the church, he preaches that spare the rod and spoil the child. So he advocates using a switch on children when they have been disobedient. And he was raised this way by his father, and many of the members of his church were raised that way. He is facing 80 years in prison, 80 years in prison, and 40 years for the members of his church, because they follow his leadership, and he's simply preaching right out of the gospel.
Sure. And if he would have judged...
Spare the rod and spoil the child, and they're talking about 80 years of imprisonment. I mean, he's a man 60 years old. Of course, the whole idea is to use these threats to get him to plead guilty and give him 3 months in jail or a suspended sentence. But they have to win. And, of course, they're not concerned about justice. They're not concerned about right and wrong. They are concerned about intimidating people and forcing everybody to go along. Could you imagine 80 years in prison for simply preaching out of the Bible and saying, spare the rod and spoil the child?
Well, I can today, but, you know, the irony is that if he would have went and just robbed a 7-Eleven with a gun, he would have only probably got 3 years.
Right. And, of course, it's time our people began to understand what is happening to our judicial system, what is happening to our courts, and as they change the meaning of words. And, of course, this anti-Christian bias, this hatred of anything in the Bible, of course, is... And as somebody once said, you know, what happened to the First Amendment, freedom to practice religion? Well, of course, that and $2 will buy you a cup of coffee any place in America today. Our telephone number, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and go ahead and sort of develop your ideas there.
Yes, sir. Well, one of the slogan that I had with United Truckers was that the first thing we must do if we hope to survive is to learn and understand the true nature of law, just as you were talking about there, Dr. Stan. Now, what I have in front of me are the 10 most misused words today in America that we all tend to use and misuse. You probably do, I do, and everyone else out there. We all fall into it, and then, of course, the idea is to try to understand this, because we need to make a change real quick in a lot of our thinking and a lot of our use of terms, because these are the things, again, with legal work especially, that will trap us. Now, the word client, that means non-compos mentis, or not mentally competent in actuality. So when the attorney is saying, judge my client over here, what he's really saying is my mentally incompetent fool who cannot speak for himself, therefore he needs me. And then you can really appreciate the meaning of the word client if you've ever gone to a mental hospital and seen any of the paperwork that they have you sign in on, because in very big black bold letters, the biggest word on there is client, which clearly means mentally incompetent. So that's one example. So, yeah, I mean, I would not want to be a client of anyone.
Well, no, of course, that is not the meaning in the modern-day dictionary.
Well, right, what dictionary, you know, it has to be what dictionary. Are we talking about a law dictionary or a regular dictionary? Because the words, what they're doing today, of course, is they're changing the meaning of words. What's really interesting, if you go up into West Publishing, who publishes the Black's Law Dictionaries as well as other law dictionaries up in Minnesota, that place is more secure than Fort Knox. It's probably the most well-guarded facility in America, as I understand it, and that's a rather interesting scenario to consider, that they're just publishing words, but it must mean that maybe they're really involved in something that is treasonous against this own land that we love. Now, the term country, we use country and we use nation periodically, and sometimes we use them interchangeably, but they really have two separate meanings. A country, regarding its etymology, really means occupied or captured territory. That is, the etymology would be the counted trees. And that would be versus nation, which means a sovereign land, or in its original form, the life force that comes down. So the nation, if we're talking about our sovereign land of America, then nation is most appropriate, but it's true that it is a country because it has been captured. So these are just the nature of the words. Employee actually means government worker.
But where does all this go, the fact that... you know, the meaning of words. How is this applicable to the people out there in the listening audience?
Well, most appropriately, when we're talking about the use of legal work, if we're going to create a legal document and we're going to put it in a court system, one example, okay? I know that everyone out there, the majority of them, all embrace the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, for example. There's a lot of problems. I know you have Ralph Epperson on periodically. He's a friend of mine, and I know that he will tell you that the Constitution was an illegitimate document right from its inception.
Of course, I could disagree very, very strongly with Ralph on that. So we don't discuss that on the program because he believes it was a Masonic document. If it was a Masonic document, it would be dated from 6,000 years ago. It was a Christian document,
right.
And of course, it was put in by Christians. Yes, some of them were Masons, but they did not understand the basis of Masonry. So this is certainly a very, very unproductive argument, and I believe it's fallacious from the very foundation. I believe we were a Christian nation.
Right.
We've turned our back on our Christian heritage.
Dr. Stan, can I show you one thing, though, regarding the use of words in regarding the Bill of Rights? If we go to the second article of the Bill of Rights, it says that we have the right to bear arms. But the use of the word to, the smallest words are the most powerful words in the English language. They control direction. And the word to bear arms is future tense, and it never comes. If it were written correctly, it should say we have the right for bearing arms. And so this is how that...
But what does the Second Amendment say?
The right to bear arms. And therefore, that right never comes because it is future tense, and this is how they have destroyed our proper use of language, and it has an ulterior meaning then. It's a construction of language. It's an art, and this is how they have back doors in so many of their legal works that they use, and it's the back doors are with the use of terms. Example, we use the word human being. Right, the Millenkoff Dictionary from 1950, it says sea monster. And then you go, it talks about it means mongoloids or mixed breeds. I mean, I don't even like the association of the definition because, you know, I think it doesn't matter whether people mix with any race or not to me. But the term that we should use is men rather than a human being because the terminology is a constructed terminology that came of late and is not really what we think it means.
Well, but of course, this is the legalese that lawyers use. This is not applicable to the average individual, of course, unless they're going into court.
Well, let me give you a better example, then. It's the use of the word person. What's interesting is when we look at the Declaration of Independence, I consider that to be the most important and most valid document of the founding of America because it clearly gave us independence and freedom to follow our own destiny. But if you go into the Articles of Confederation, there's something very interesting going on because no longer are they using a term freeman or a sovereign. What they're using is the term person. But a person is not a man. A person, in its original sense, is a shield. And then if you go into Oxford's Dictionary of the English Language, I have a copy. It's $400 for this dictionary. And it tells you that the first use of the word person beyond the shield aspect of it is an actor or a mask. And so what the and then it goes on from there. The use then became a corporation, a trust, a company. So whenever you see the term person in any of the government-related documents, it's not talking about a man. What it is talking about is a shield or a corporation trust, a single unit corporation. The person is the all capital name, for instance, on the driver's license. That's a corporation. That's not really you or I. So this is if we go into court using addiction. Referring to ourselves as a person, we're saying that we're not real, that's the type of stuff that I'm talking about. That's the perfect example. So the term represent, for instance, and this is a perfect follow-up. The term represent really means to represent. So when you go into court and then the judge is saying to you, do you wish to represent yourself, what he's really saying is, do you wish to represent yourself. In other words, move away from being the man and to represent the fiction, to represent the mask that is the fiction. Because, and the reason is this, Dr. Stan, is because since the Civil War, we no longer had law in America. The original Congress disbanded sine die, which meant that they no longer set a date to reconvene. So America died with the Civil War. And then when Lincoln brought them back from the North, the congressmen, it was now a de facto government. There was no law anymore. It was only legislation and rules. And as a result of that, the de facto, which does not have law, cannot tax flesh and blood men, free men, sovereigns, and therefore it could only a corporation could only tax another corporation entity, and that's where they created the mask or the person. I'm sure you understand that.
I think that it's it really doesn't make much sense as far as anything practical, as far as I can see it, from where we actually stand today. We still have a government of laws. If we didn't have a government of laws, the other side wouldn't be going to so much the trouble to try to circumvent it. If we did not have a constitution that was still in force, then they would not, Richard Gardner would not have written his article in Foreign Affairs magazine back in April of 74 saying, we've got to just do an end run around the constitution. They know the constitution, if they try to do what they'd really like to and establish their authoritarian society, they would become lawbreakers, so a little at a time they have to erode the structure of law, which has, for at least until recently, given us the greatest amount of freedom enjoyed by any people during all time. Now, the fact that they have essentially repealed the Fourth Amendment with the recent USA Patriot Act is something that we're not talking about today. And so talking about words instead of talking about the really important things that are going on in our society as we move from a free society with the new Office of Homeland Security, the USA Patriot Act, the TIPS program, the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, and all of these other things that really do affect us. What you're talking about is purely theoretical and has no application to where I live or what's happening to my country today.
Well, Dr. Stan, are we operating under law today or are we operating under public policy?
Well, we still have at least the framework of law. Now, in other words, if you can go into court and you can demand your right to habeas corpus. You could, and of course they want to suspend that, but we still have this framework of law. It's being eroded, yes, but it's still there. And of course, this is what we have to do, is let people understand how that these freedoms are being eroded and what the objective of the people on the other side is. We are in the greatest crisis of all time.
Yes,
we face that in America today. And of course, discussing the meaning of the word person, I think what we ought to be doing is discussing how the rights of the individual are being progressively eroded, and of course, what's going to happen with the chaos that comes. And we are facing a period of chaos, I'm talking about in the next 6 months to a year, where they're simply going to suspend all constitutional rights, and the American people will rally behind that concept in the name of preserving their security, having forgotten that any people willing to give up any bit of their individual security, in the name, are really going to lose their freedom, going to lose everything.
Dr. Stan, I have the greatest respect for you, sir. I know you produced that tape by Norman Dodd way back when interviewing him, and I've listened to that numerous times, and I know that you've been in this fight longer than most everyone else and have traveled the world seeking the truth. In your mind today, Dr. Stan, if we were going to use the term sovereign, who is the sovereign today in America regarding law or control?
Well, of course, we would like to think that the individual is a sovereign individual.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, I'll answer that question, and then we can go from there, because I would say that the Federal Reserve Board of Directors is the sovereign today, and that America is under a pretended law from the state and local levels, even to the federal, but actually today we are under the Uniform Commercial Code, which is the law that all the nations of the world are under today, and the only people that are sovereign above the Uniform Commercial Code are actually the banking directors themselves. And so, I mean, we look at 9/11, the Twin Towers that came down, and we hear all of the things associated with that. Alex Jones does one of the greatest presentations regarding that, about the fact that Bush is culpable in this event. And but who are the people really pulling the strings? And then it goes back into banking, of course, Bush being a puppet, not really a conceiver of these ideas to do such dirty deeds on people in this world. So, I mean, we go back into history, then, you know, we know that the Rothschilds committed fraud against England and overtook England during the time of Napoleon. So what we have is like an onion, and we have a front layer, and then, you know, you pull that layer away, we could say that's America, but then, you know, it's the banking Federal Reserve, and then it's England, but then behind England is the Rothschilds, then behind the Rothschilds is the banking families, who are also the merchant shippers of the world, you know, so... I see it right at the core, and the core is, of course, the people who make the money control it all today, it seems. So
but who controls our banking system in America today, and who are the richest people in the world in America?
Right,
and
right.
We never talk about it. We talk about Bill Gates. We talk
right.
about Warren Buffett.
Yeah.
We never really
right.
talk about the people. We never talk about the Rockefellers. David Rockefeller was the chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations for 20 years. I mean, his wealth and the wealth of his family certainly dwarf that of a Bill Gates or of Warren Buffett.
Right.
They are by far the richest people of the world, at least they were until recently.
Dr. Stan, I just realized about a week ago that David Rockefeller was the founder of the Council on Foreign Relations, and that was in the 1920s. He must be over 100 years old.
No, he was not a founder of the Council on Foreign Relations. He wasn't even born, or at least was very
maybe
old.
I have a misread on that.
It was actually founded in 1921. Mm-hmm. The Rockefellers came on board much later.
Okay, because I thought I had read the chart on that, and his name was next to that. I could be wrong.
No, you have to understand, he's about 91 years
right.
old at the present time.
Well, I knew he was old.
Right, but he's not that old.
All right. Well, let's talk about
he was
some
born
of the
in 19, what, right. The early 1920s.
Let me go a little further, because we're talking about the people who are culpable. The keys of knowledge that we all would like to have to understand truth has been taken from us by a very... ominous group. Most people are involved with it innocently, and these are the Freemasons of the Scottish Rite, which I call Wrongs Freemasonry, and the Illuminati. They've stolen the keys of knowledge from us, and it's evidenced when we understand how they have done it through, like, their symbols. You see their symbol on a lot of the books that are published today. It's the milk thistle. And it's on the Britannic encyclopedias, it's on dictionaries, and it's their secret sign that says that they're controlling the diction and the works within these books. It's published with their approval, so to speak. Freemasons, of course, is a secret society for control of man worldwide. It's a worldwide sovereignty. Of course, they call the senior people the grand sovereigns and things like that. Now, what's interesting, I hear the music coming, so I'll hold my thought then.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in about 3 or 4 minutes. If you're out there and you have a question or comment, give us a call at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest this evening is called Desert or Desert Owl, and he's talking about the origin of words and, of course, their application to our life today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and We hope that many of you out there will, of course, feel that you'd like to become part of the Radio Liberty family, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day. And again, on the weekends, we do two programs on Saturday. One is heard on six stations. The other is heard on some 32 or 33 different stations. I think it's at least 33 different stations. And, of course, this gives us a tremendous opportunity to reach people all across America with the news that they're not going to get from the regular channels. And so we hope that many of you out there will feel that you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, because, quite frankly, we can't do it without the support of people who believe, as we do, that America is worthwhile fighting for and trying to preserve for future generations. Now, certainly the America we have today is not the America that I was brought up in. It's the America, and I don't want to preserve this America. I want to preserve the America that we had 50 years ago, America where right was right and, of course, might made right, America that was a moral society where marriage was important and fidelity was important and truth was important, and we expected our politicians to do what was right rather than what was expedient. A country where the pulpits flamed with righteousness, and what our church stood for, where our ministers were willing to speak out on really important issues, where they told people to object when the government was doing something wrong. That was before the Gospel of Romans 13 took over. They told us, doesn't matter how corrupt your government is, doesn't matter how evil it is, God is in charge, and God put that man there, and you're to obey him no matter how many millions of people he intends to kill through massive wars. What sort of madness is this? I mean, right is right and wrong is wrong. And just because a man has been put in power, because the establishment controls both political parties and, of course, doesn't give us an option any longer as to whether we're going to have a man who wants freedom or a man who wants world government. Both political candidates want exactly the same thing. Both political parties are heading towards the New World Order and the New World Religion, and we're to obey them blindly because God put them there. I believe Satan put them there. And I believe that there is a battle between good and evil, between God and Satan. And I believe that the people of God should be willing to take a stand. But we're told, oh, no, you shouldn't do that. After all, remember what Paul said about the Roman government. It was corrupt. But God gave us a constitutional republic. And we have an obligation to retain that until he comes again, or at least to try. And one of the biggest problems we have today is that society reflects the church. And look at society today. And so we're here trying to bring the truth to people out across the land, trying to get people to understand what indeed is transpiring, trying to call people to righteousness, and trying to call the church to righteousness too. Because if society reflects the church, then the church itself is corrupt. And I would like to suggest that's exactly what's happened. And the statistics as far as immorality within our churches and immorality on the part of our ministers is even worse many times than in the general society. Of course, they're not getting married at all, and so they're not getting divorced as much. But be that as it may, at least that the statistics suggest a terrible degree of immorality in our church and even among many of our ministers. And, of course, I think this reflects the poor and false teaching in our seminaries that has led us to where we are today, because the agents of Lucifer got into our seminaries 50 years ago, and they, of course, have their agenda. And that was to attack the church, not from without, but from within. And they've done a wonderful, wonderful job of it. So our plea to you is, of course, give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family. At least we're a voice out here, and we've got some wonderful, wonderful guests with a wonderful Christian message. And help us to get this out across America. Because if there was ever a time when people were going to begin looking for truth and looking to turn back to God, we'll be in this next 6 months to a year. And as long as we have a voice, I'll be here. But I'll need your help. Our number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, our website, radioliberty.com, and we'd love to welcome you into the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this evening is Desert Owl, and we've got Nathan calling in from Contra Costa County. Hi, Nathan. How are you doing?
3-in-1 night, what do you know? Except that it's a trend. It's a basic theme that I want to harp on tonight a little bit, if you'll let me. Desert Owl, is it?
Call me Desert.
together. Okay, listen, I acknowledge the power of the Freemasons, and I acknowledge that they had a lot of their members of the Constitutional Convention and all the rest of it, but I think there's something that you're missing a little bit, if I may say so respectfully, and this
sure.
is not intended as a harmful reproach, but
of course not.
It's just from the bottom of my heart.
Right.
There are basic laws of God, okay? They're not laws of man. I know that you sound like you're very much of a libertarian, and libertarians very much believe
not
in
at all. Not at all.
Okay. But you know, there are the laws of God here we have to consider, and one of the important laws of God...
Those are the only ones I follow, Nathan, by the way.
Okay. Well, I'm going to hold you to that, then. One of the important laws of God is that we have a court system that dispenses equal and fair justice. Well, the Declaration of Independence could not set that up because it was just that, a Declaration of Independence. It did not structure the new government.
Right.
Now, what we're really debating, I think, is the difference between the Articles of Confederation and the Constitution. Well, the Articles of Confederation had no independent
judiciary.
No, there
was no debate on that difference. I mean, why don't you just make your point?
Okay, my point is that the Constitution, whatever its faults, okay, and the original Constitution had quite a number of faults, but it did have an independent judiciary, and it did have a sense that you didn't have a majority, or you didn't have a minority, you didn't have an aristocracy, or a king, or a mob.
Well, you had titles of nobility.
Well, okay.
That was contrary to the founding principles.
Pardon?
That was contrary to the founding principles. Once you got the titles of nobilities in
you're
there.
You're talking about lawyers?
Attorneys, specifically.
Referring to law.
Before they could begin in the government, they were publishing books in the publishing houses and the newspapers. So when it came to changing the documents over, like with the missing 13th Amendment, which was the title of nobility clause, they did it within a heartbeat because they owned the publishing houses.
Okay, no, I don't deny that the economic elitists, the slave owners, and the large property owners, and the lawyers, I don't deny their power here, but what I am saying is that something very important is that however imperfect it was, it did uphold the basic commandment to have a just court system, and that just court system has saved our tails many times, and it may yet again during this day and age of eroding civil rights.
I don't know what world you live in, but I haven't seen that, and I've been victimized by that very system. And when you talk about separations of power, who in government is not an attorney today?
Pick a better country.
Go ahead, Nathan. You get your point over,
okay,
and then...
Pick a better country. Yes, it's imperfect, but if you're going to talk about scrapping the whole system, that's exactly what the other side wants.
Okay, fine. Anything else, Nathan?
Well, I'm just saying it's however imperfect the system is, it's a basic commandment of God that we have some kind of an independent judiciary. And as much as I may not care too much for the way that lawyers don't seem to have much of a system of ethics, it is necessary to have a system of legal impartiality. Now, there are problems with the one that we have now, but it is really still... The Constitution, to the extent that it still functions, is the best system known to man. And that's how it seems to me.
I would simply point out that it's imperfect. The only way that this system would work is you have moral people. What we need is moral men. We have a few moral men. We have a few good men. And we're seeing actually this court system work today as people all across the country who have been sent to a prison and many times to death row by, of course, immoral prosecutors and immoral courts. Many of them are being released. Over 100 people on death row have been released because they were sent to prison with phony evidence.
We don't live in China where the system works. They wouldn't be released.
I have a question for Nathan.
We don't live in China where they wouldn't even be released.
Absolutely. And so as imperfect as it is, it's the best one we've got.
Well, we'll be like China before long, but I have a question for Nathan. Who are the agents of the attorneys?
Well, and if they're the agents of the British Crown, and I know I've heard the theories about that. I mean, they're definitely...
It's not theory, it's a fact.
Fire.
It's a fact.
Pardon?
It's a fact that they are agents of the...
Wait a minute. Are you suggesting that all lawyers in America today are agents of the British Crown?
Well, by affiliation they are, Dr. Stan. I wouldn't say by mental attitude, they were necessarily that way, because many are ignorantly attorneys without knowledge of that.
All right. Well, I think that basically our laws were based upon the laws of England, and for many years, why the basic law book was Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England. But to say that our system is in England is still under the control of the crown is sort of reaching. Nathan, why don't you make your final point?
Yeah, I'll make my final point. To the extent that we still have our independence from Europe and from the sort of New World Order system, well, I'll put it this way. To the extent that we still have our individual protections, our individual freedoms, we don't want to go scrapping the system. In fact, even, dare I say this, but even the English system of law is still far better than an outright despotism. Now, there were some protections under King George that we wouldn't have had under France or under Spain or under the Turks or under, you know, the feudal China. So I'm just saying, let's be reasonable here. I'm not saying that you're entirely incorrect.
Right,
but I think that we need to be reasonable, and we need to understand. We need to keep a sense of perspective.
Right? Okay, thank you very much, Nathan. I appreciate your remarks. Bye-bye.
What I would say in capping that off, Dr. Stan, is that there is no freedom and there are no rights.
Well, I think, of course, I think you're sadly mistaken. What you're suggesting is that you want to scrap and destroy
the whole
system. No, well, I think we have a wonderful constitutional system. What we need are moral people and get back to the laws of this land. Rather than this law of man, we need to get back to the laws of God, which were what the original concept of law was based upon. Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England, which was the law book that was used by every lawyer here for 150 years, was based upon the law of God. Where we got into trouble was when we turned against the laws of God.
Oh, yeah.
We never taught our lawyers in their law schools to read the Constitution or to understand that law came from God, and of course, law was a divine thing. What they did was begin to replace that with these rules of men, and that's why we're in the trouble that we are today. But as corrupt as our system is, it is still better than any other system in the world today. Can you think of a nation you'd rather go to, Desert? All right,
well,
fine. Let's go.
We haven't grown up here, Dr.
All right.
Stan.
Okay, let's go to Jeannie, and calling from LaSalle Beach.
Okay.
Hi, Jeannie. Go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Stan.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Desert. Well, you know, Dr. Stan, I'm going to favor Desert this evening. If you go into the judicial system and into the courts today, if you do not understand the terminology and the definition that the judge is speaking in the court, you have no chance in hell.
You said it well.
And you've got to go through the court system. And why I say that is you look at all the New World Order stooges coming up, like Hillary Clinton. She's a lawyer. Bill Clinton, he's a lawyer. They know how to get around the Constitution because they know the meaning of words. And I often said, I'd like to know the meaning of words because we're really not taught in the schools how the words have changed. And like Desert was talking about person, it has to do with everyday living because eventually we're going to get into the courts, and you have to understand that's a fictional entity.
Exactly.
And so I think Desert is kind of playing on his side this evening, Dr. Stan, because I think he's coming from another viewpoint that we should understand the basic definitions of words that we were not taught.
Well, what we need to do is get back to a sound judicial system where we have the rule of God rather than the rule of man, because they play these word games. And, of course, the courts, you have to really insist you're under a constitutional court rather than, of course, the courts that we have today, where the administrative law courts.
I'll go further than that, Dr. Stan. I'll say what we need to get back to is truth, because truth is real order.
And we need to get back to the definition of words, and they're playing us as fools when we get into the court system. And, you know, Desert, you're right. The lawyer system, they are the BAR, and I forget what it means, barristers, but they are part of the Bank of England.
Right. British accredited.
And they are all controlled by the Bank of England. And, of course, my husband knows much more than I do, Dr. Stan, but I had a stick-up for Desert this evening.
All right, you go ahead, but Jeannie, the fact that they're all controlled by the Bank of England. I know a lot of lawyers that don't know anything at all about the Bank of England.
Right.
Yeah, but see, they're playing the same game in the courts, even though they don't know Dr. Stan.
But they really don't know that they don't understand this at all.
And
of course, they really don't understand what's happened to our country,
right,
as it's simply a rule of law has been replaced by rule of men. And you heard that story about the Islamic terrorists that hijacked a plane load of lawyers and made these demands, and they said, you know, we're going to release one lawyer every hour until you meet our demands. Anything else, Jeannie?
Yeah, Dr. Stan, you know, was it 1812 or whatever? They tried to kick the lawyers out of the United States because they knew how bad they were.
That's when they created the missing 13th Amendment.
Yes. Thank you, Desert, for being on.
Yes, ma'am. Here's the definition for a turn, which is the form of the word attorney, and that is to keep everything within the possession of the king. And as I understand it, of course, I cannot prove this, and I do not even have the site, but I have a very credible associate that passed this information on to me, and it is that for every lawsuit in America, the Queen actually gets a small percentage, if you can imagine that, and look at the lavish castles that she owns. It's very appreciable. Going back to the Freemasons now, there's a lot of symbolism that goes on within our world, and we never understand what is really being said right in our face, and that is like, so going back with Freemasonry again, and the bagpipes, we see the bagpipes always being played down in parades. You know, right after 9/11, when all of these firemen and officials were tragically lost with all of these other people, told to go somewhere where obviously Freemasons knew Freemasons shouldn't go, a lot of the firemen were killed. Then shortly after 9/11, the towers coming down, we see a parade sort of mourning the 9/11 attack and the very tragic event, and there we see the bagpipes, the Scottish Rite Freemasonry playing the bagpipes down the street, and it's so profound in my mind when I see that, because I knew that this thing could not have been accomplished if it was not for Scottish Rite Freemasonry. That's how John Wilkes Booth was able to shoot Lincoln and then jump down on a stage and declare his famous quote in front of an entire audience and then escape without harm from a city that was totally guarded with sentries on every street, because he was also obviously with the Knights of the Golden Circle and Freemasonry and knew the passwords or the handshake, whatever, and could get out. It's just profound what is really going on in this world, Dr. Stan, and how this is really what's interesting is there is another form of language that is being spoken by the secret societies, and it is in our face, but none of us know how to read it, and that's where I have been able to really grapple with it and reveal it in a lot that I do, because it is the language of symbolism, and that is where all language originally stemmed from. Now, the craft, it's interesting, the word craft itself in the Middle English Dictionary means, get this, traitor. Middle English, 1300s, and that's the Scottish Rite, they call themselves the craft, you know. The G on the Mason's ring, it stands for the Chi of the universe, and that is they being the gods, or builder, creator.
All right, we've got Mary calling in here from Tucson. Hi, Mary, do you have a question or comment?
I guess a comment.
Hello, Mary.
Has anyone watched C-SPAN today on the continuity of government and the semantics that were used?
No.
It was incredible. I copied it on tape, and I'd like to send you a copy.
Would you please? Oh, and basically, what are you speaking of now? The continuity of government in case of a national emergency or
right.
a war?
Right. They were using words that were just incredible. It sounded to me almost like a coup. It was incredible. And anyone that has a knowledge that your guest has in semantics would be very interested in this program.
Yeah.
It was incredible, and they spoke about amending the Constitution over and over again.
They spoke about ending the Constitution. Well, that's what the whole plan
amending
is.
Amending it.
And that really is what this whole new world, pardon me, the whole Phase 3 report of the United States Committee on Security, a Commission on Security in the 21st Century, was about a Council on Foreign Relations, a commission authorized or chartered by the Secretary of Defense in 1998. And, of course, their Phase 3 report came out in January 31st of the year 2001. And what they talked about was making our government much more efficient, limiting the power of Congress and centralizing all power with the executive branch of government, which removes checks and balances. The total of restructuring of our government without the consent of the American people.
You know what I found really amazing, Stan, was how they were working on the hearing of the public, the actual hearing. They had their chin in their hand, the sliding of the elbow on the table, all the psychological aspects of totally brainwashing nation. Clinton used to do that all the time. And the motion where they would spread their fingers out, put their hand over their heart, exactly like Clinton used to do. That's what's being done by Bush. All of these things need to be watched very closely. You need to read between the lines on C-SPAN.
Anytime
they got into anything important, they would say that they would do this behind closed doors.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead. Desert, did you have a question?
Well, in line with what Mary was saying, I was going to say, Mary, you know, when you go back into education, mm-hmm. And it connects with what I was talking about with Freemasonry, you know, every time we go through high school and with graduation or college, we always wear that square hat right on our head.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what it's called?
Uh-uh.
No. Dr. Stan?
No, I don't.
It's called a mortar board. And the mortar board, of course, is the board that holds the mud by the mason when he's bricklaying in his left hand, and then he takes the trowel and he mixes the mud and then puts it on the bricks. And it's the mortar board, and of course it's the Masonic square, and it's therefore their symbol on your head saying you're their end product. And not only that, but maybe it also means you have mud in your eye and you
can't
see.
Okay, fine. Anything else you want to say, Mary?
No, just that it was the most amazing program I have ever seen on C-SPAN.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to see a lot of amazing things now as we move into this war, and you've got to get those people down there in Tucson to realize that this thing's as phony as a $3 bill. In fact, it's a wonderful book.
I have a television program, and I expose everything.
Basically, there's a wonderful book, and we're going to be carrying it before long. It's called A See No Evil. It's written by a man named Robert Baer, who is the station chief for the CIA in the Middle East until 1979, when he resigned in disgust. But he actually says in the preface to the book that a reporter friend of his was told by a high CIA official that when the dust settles after September 11th, why, of course, people won't look what happened on September 11th as an intelligence failure, but as a great intelligence success. A great triumph was the word. An intelligence triumph. Why was September 11th an intelligence triumph with all those people died? Well, because only 3,000 people died, and of course, we're going to be able to get into a war with the wicked Saddam Hussein. And the American people never would have gone into a war or given up their freedom had it not been for what happened on September 11th. It indeed was a triumph of deceit over righteousness. But be that as it may, there are people who already want this war. They want, of course, a dictatorship in America. And it's coming. The book, See No Evil, this is in the foreword, and we'll be talking more about that as we get into the background, and hopefully we can get Mr. Baer on our program. Hey, look, thanks so much for calling, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
You're very welcome.
Hi, man. Let's go to Ed calling in from Aptos. Hi, Ed. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I have a comment. I wanted to thank Jeannie for calling. She articulated what I was thinking perfectly. There's a lot of truth with Desert Owl has to say. I was wondering if you could have him on for like a two-hour program. And I had a question for Desert.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to ask you. You talked about the bullets. Out of time. Thank you for being on.
Okay. Anything else, Ed? I think we had Ed's telephone there gave out.
I can give out my phone number if possible.
All right, you go right ahead.
Okay, if anyone wants to reach me, Dr. Stan, I have a voicemail, and they can leave their message, and I'll call them back. It's 972-774-8949. I'll give it one more time. 972-774-8949. Do I have time to cap off with one more point?
Sure you do.
Okay. Are you familiar with the album cover that was called the Coup Album and party music that had the 9/11 towers on there?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Right.
Why don't you describe it, though, for our listeners? They may not have.
Right. Well, Tex Mars published a presentation of it as well. And of course, it's a it says the coup, and it has the communist star on it, and the Twin Towers are burning. Obviously, it was a prediction of what was to come about 3 months ahead of schedule.
All right, this was a record album put out by a couple of pop artists.
Hard
metal artists.
Rap punk music.
Right, and this simply shows you these two faces, and then behind them are the Twin Towers, and of course you see the smoke billowing out. Now this was published about, 3 months?
At least.
It never actually was released. It was all set and ready to go on September 11th.
And it came off the web as soon as this happened, within hours. Now, what's interesting, Dr. Stan, when I was looking at the album, and it had the party music name on the left-hand side going up the side of the album, I immediately, because of my studies with the language and the symbolism and so forth, I was able to immediately recognize that these words were meant to be read upside down. And I immediately turned it over to read it upside down, and it had two sayings based on the very unique nature of the words. When you look at it closely, you'll see what I'm talking about. It reads upside down like this. Now, you have to understand that the C is a symbol for Lucifer, and is the crescent moon. And then after the C, it speaks. It says, "I saw a trap," and then it then says again, you read it again another way, and it says, "I saw a trade." And it's very profound. Everyone out there, if they have a copy, they'll see what I'm talking about. So this is how they're in our face, and they're really mocking us all the time. I sent that to Tex Mars, by the way, that analysis. So, and Harry Potter, for example, I know you have this type of stuff on with the occult, and that means literally the heir and power of the grave. So there's so many things. I literally didn't even touch on a lot that I had in the book, The Cyber Code, but people can learn how to get it if they go ahead and drop me a line, and I'll be glad to tell them how they can get it, Dr. Stan.
All right, fine. Is the cyber code out at the present time?
Yeah, it's being published right now. About a week or so, it should be ready. And I certainly am grateful to be on with you, sir. It's been a real pleasure, and hope I can do another presentation in the future. I'll try to maybe talk more specifically about law. I didn't have that at the front of my list, but I may possibly do that next time.
All right, fine. Well, we have a lot of problems with our legal system. We have a lot of corruption in our courts, and certainly we have some judges who will not allow the evidence to be presented. The framework is still a valid framework. What we have to do is try to reclaim that framework and, of course, try to get the American people to be concerned because, of course, when the legal system fails, then, of course, eventually the whole society has failed, just exactly as described in 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter. And just get that out, 1 Samuel, 8th chapter, read it. And what happened to ancient Israel when the judges became corrupt? And believe me, we have many, many corrupt judges today. Thank goodness we still have a few good ones, but we have some very corrupt ones, especially in the 9th Circuit up there in San Francisco. Desert, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us. Good night, and God bless you.